Amen. You know, I've been meditating this week on you meditate on things that you see, meditate on things that you hear by the Holy Spirit, but you hear other things too, and it goes into your soul, and you're asking the Lord, what about this, what about that? And I'll just, in a couple of words, what I believe that I'm hearing from the Spirit of God is that His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom.
Amen.
In other words, it's a kingdom that is going to rise amidst all that's going on. It is already there, but it's going to fill the earth.
Yes.
And all these other kingdoms are going to have to fall.
Amen.
And I wonder if maybe we could just look at some of the scripture that supports this. Okay? There's so much competition. There's so much in this world that just grieves my heart to no end. I'm grieved at every aspect of Babylon. I'm grieved at the political aspects of Babylon, the terrible things men in politics are doing. It just grieves me to no end. And that includes both sides of the fence. If you're putting your trust in politics, it's just a terrible disappointment. If you put your trust in what you're going to vote for and who you're going to do, the best you can come up with is Laodicea. Really. You don't know what I mean when I say Laodicea. Do you know what Laodicea means? It means rule by the people. The Laodicean church was ruled by the people. It was democracy.
Yeah.
That was the church of Laodicea. And that's what the word Laodicea means. Laity. That was in charge. That's the best we can come up with. The kingdom of religion. It's just got a horrible stench. The kingdom of economics. Many, many are worshiping at that altar, believing but you know what? You're going to be disappointed again. It's going to fail too. Let me go to Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ, to read some scripture from Revelation, the revelation. And you know, I think we should start in chapter 18. I don't know how far we're going to get. But in chapter 18, verse 2, well, let's start with verse 1. I'd like to read the whole chapter. I have so much here, I can't read the whole chapter. Amen. It says, "And after these things, I saw," amen, "another angel come down from heaven, having great power." And that means that angel had great authority. Amen? Great authority. "And the earth was lighted with his glory." Can you imagine? This is just an angel. The whole earth was illuminated with the authority of this angel. But what was the message that the angel was bringing? "And he cried mightily with a strong voice." Amen. With a strong voice. A loud voice.
Yes.
A loud voice. Amen. Saying, "Babylon the Great is fallen."
Yes.
See, I said that with a loud voice. Because that's what the angel did. "Babylon is fallen and has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird." Amen. Now, we know that the Babylon is the place of harlotry. Amen. It is the place where the mother of harlots sits. But the mother of harlots, in order to be a mother, what qualifies you to be a mother? You have daughters. Well, or sons, but in this case, daughters. We're talking about a church system, a religious system.
Right.
And brethren, I am, you know, I think if we just look at what's happening in the world and what appears to be a continuing rottenness, a continuing downward slide,
right,
we would become discouraged.
Yeah.
And we would say, evil is winning.
Yeah.
But the thing is, evil is not going to win. It's going to fall. Amen? And somehow we have to understand that God has to allow evil to come to its fullness. It has to come to the fullness of its rottenness in order for God to bring His fullness of judgment upon it. Even as darkness has its fullness, light also has its fullness. And the angel that brings this announcement is an angel who is bringing light. And the light is going to destroy the darkness. Do you remember what it says in the first part of John? The book of John. I'm just thinking of that just now. It says that John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was... in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen? The same was in the beginning with God. And it says, then all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men.
Amen.
How many of you believe we need more life?
Yes.
How many of you have all the life you need? I don't. Amen. How many of you have all the light you need? No, I don't have all the light. It says, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now that word comprehended is not the same as we understand the word comprehend. We would say the word comprehend means, did you understand it? No. It means that the darkness apprehended it not.
Right.
That means that the darkness could not take it over.
Right.
Could not change it. There's an Amplified Bible right behind you, Larry. The little one on top.
Yeah.
Not everybody could do this, you know.
Bring it over here, brother, would you? I just want to read that verse in the Amplified Bible. It is such an amazing... At what age?
In my youth. I'm older than that.
As a man thinketh in his heart, huh? All right, so let's look at this verse. It says, and the light shines in the darkness, for the darkness has never overpowered it, put it out, or has not absorbed it, has not appropriated it, and is unreceptive to it.
Yes.
Amen. Now, When you open your door at night of your house and it's pitch black night outside, what happens?
I use the flashlight.
The shaft of light goes outdoors, right? In other words, if I'm standing in the darkness, out there in the darkness, and I see your house is full of light, and the door opens up,
yeah,
what goes out?
Light.
The light goes out. So I could see a shaft of light going out into the darkness from your door. Does a shaft of darkness come into your house? No, you don't see a shadow come into your house and fall on the floor because of the darkness outside. So that tells you light is stronger than darkness.
Turns it out.
Amen? It's like this, and this is what made me laugh so when I saw this cartoon, this Hager the Horrible. He tells Eddie to open the door and find out what time it is. And the shaft of darkness comes into the house. And he says, it's the dark ages. And it makes me laugh because I know it can't happen. Darkness cannot overpower the light. Amen? All right, so back here, it says Babylon is fallen. Amen? And the darkness is not going to win. Now, we come over here to verse 9. Let's look at the political aspect of Babylon, all right? And when I say Babylon, it's just such a broad word. Yeah. It means everything unrighteous, everything that is a substitute for the reality of God is darkness, all right? So it says here in verse 9, the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. Now, this is an interesting statement here of seeing the smoke of her burning, because somewhere else, and I forget just where it is, it says the smoke of her burning is going to rise forever and ever. Now, what does that mean? You're not going to stand somewhere and see a pillar of smoke going up. But somehow there's going to be some kind of reminder that we are never going to ever forget the burning of Babylon. I'm talking about the spiritual destruction of this wickedness, this wicked kingdom of Satan that is going to be destroyed, and the smoke is going up. There's something, there's a stench. Smoke is a stink, is it not?
Amen.
But it's also a visible thing that you see. You smell it, you see it. It's probably so thick you could almost feel it. Amen? One of you was saying when you came here today, you could feel something of the spirit of light. And it was joyful to you. Amen? It was, somebody else said something about being set free, being delivered. And that includes the deliverance of our soul.
Amen?
Being delivered from the things that bind us, the envy, the hatred, the offense. Amen. We will not take. We will not. Amen. Say what you want. Do what you want. I will not be moved by it. Amen. I will not be moved by lies. I will not be moved by accusation. I will not be moved by condemnation.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I will not be moved by the devil.
Amen.
The devil tried everything he could on Jesus Christ, and he found no ground in him.
Amen.
Now this is what I'm talking about. We are going to overcome those kingdoms. That there will be only one kingdom that will rule and reign. Do you want to be a part of it or do you not?
Amen.
Amen? Do you want to be part of bringing it in? Or do you just want to be an observer and sit back and watch somebody else do it? Amen. So that means you have to rise up and rule over your soul. You have to rule over the things, the offenses that come against your soul. You have to rule against the blemishes, amen, that would prevent us from entering into the Holy of Holies as a priest. There were 12 blemishes that kept a priest out of the Holy of Holies. We're going to have to rule over those things.
Amen.
In our heart. Amen. So it says, the kings of the earth have committed fornication and live deliciously with her, shall bewail her and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning. It's going to affect all the earth.
Amen.
The smoke of her burning, that's eternal, isn't it?
Eternal.
It's in the next chapter.
Yes. And it says, standing afar off for fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. Now, that great city, by the way, don't go looking at a map and trying to figure out what city it is. Everybody wants to make New York City the great Babylon. And I know that New York City is well deserving of it, but you know what? I can name you another dozen cities, and we're not going to get done because it's not a dozen cities. We can name every city. We can come right here to where we live, this city right here. Just as wicked as any of the others. We're not quite as famous for our wickedness as some of them. All right? But we're wicked. Our city is also ruled by the same kind of powers that all these others are ruled by. They're all Laodicea. They are all vote of the people. They're all move of the corrupt leader on the top that pushes his agenda, that pushes his sin down onto the rest of the people. It's all the same kind of thing. Amen? And the merchants, the economic, chapter 11, and the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore.
That's right.
Can you imagine? This morning, I'm thinking merchandise. Rita goes shopping. You don't mind my telling that, do you?
Everybody shops.
Yeah, well, that's a woman does that very well.
That's right.
She may not enjoy it, but...
Oh, we do.
Oh,
are you kidding? No, that's heaven.
All right.
God created that way.
Well, I didn't expect quite so much amen here on that.
The Lord is God. He designed that.
But
if the Lord would have taken woman out of man, you'd need all that.
We'd have to do all that if it weren't for woman.
Yep.
So
a lot of men shop too.
Anyway, let's talk about a woman shopping for clothes. A righteous, godly woman goes out into the mall and looks for clothes. Guess what? She can't find any.
Nope.
Guess what?
Nothing.
And we're getting in. We go over to Price Chopper this morning to get the goodies here. And there's a woman parked right next to us and gives us the cart and everything. And I didn't think of it until I saw the woman get into the car. And I don't know, the right side or the left side of her blouse was missing. I mean, I don't know, it's like they removed an arm or something.
Oh, it went like this. It's the Roman.
And I'm thinking, are we short of material or what? What's going to happen? You know, why were the merchants able to sell this stuff? Because people buy it.
Yeah, right.
You see what's going to happen? When righteousness comes upon the earth, the merchants are going to wail.
Right.
Because they're not going to sell their wickedness anymore.
Amen.
Babylon is fallen.
That's right.
Babylon. Hallelujah. Move over to verse 17. It says, for in 1 hour,
right,
so great riches is come to naught.
Right. Won't be worth nothing.
How many of you want to be invested in the stock market about that time? Do you know when it's going to happen?
Soon.
Hello? Can you predict the date?
No.
No.
June 16th.
Oh. Where'd you get that?
I don't know, somebody's been prophesying.
Yeah, well, these prophecies have been going around and around and around.
This is a real one.
This is a real one, okay. Amen. All right, it says, so brother says in 1 hour on June 16th. 18th. Okay. So great, well, one day there is going to be a day. And there's going to be a day that'll be marked on the calendar, and there's going to be an hour that's going to be marked on the clock.
Yep.
It's as sudden and unexpected as what happened to the Twin Towers.
Guaranteed.
In a day, a year, a month, and an hour.
Right, and it's going to be pure destruction.
And it's marked, God knows that time.
Yep.
And I believe he gave us 9/11 to show us how suddenly and how quickly these things are going to come to pass. It's not the kingdom of God that's going down.
No.
It's the kingdom of the devil that's going down. Amen? Babylon.
Yeah. Babylon isn't like United States, Africa, Prague.
Babylon.
Right.
It's symbolic of Satan's kingdom.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
The world. The prince of this world. Jesus calls devil the prince of this world.
The word means confusion in Babylon.
Yeah. It's confusion of language. It's total confusion. But men believe that Babylon is gone. Men are deceived. Let me just give you an example here. We get this mail from these other churches. It all comes into it. Somebody takes all the lists of everything and they send this stuff out. And here's a Protestant church, a neighbor in this city.
In this city?
Yes. A Protestant church that is advertising a reverend. I don't need to say his name. I don't want to give any more. But it says that he faced this Protestant church for breaking church law. And what he did is he presided at the wedding of his son and his son-in-law. I had a hard time figuring that out. The two of them got married to each other.
They were gay.
Yes.
But his son-in-law too?
Yeah. No. This guy.
He had a daughter, but he married the guy.
No. Instead of marrying a daughter-in-law,
right.
You figured it out. This is the way they word it.
Yeah.
This is way it's worded in here. In here. He was given a choice. Listen to this poor fellow. He was given a choice to promise to never again do a same-sex marriage, and he can remain a pastor in this church. Or he can lose his ordination, his job, his career path. He chose the latter. And now he's going to be in town here in a couple of weeks, and he's going to be... It says, we are delighted to show our support for this courageous prophet. My God, they're calling him a prophet. Isn't this... I mean, the thing you were talking about of being deceived. They're given over.
Yeah, it's happening all over the place. It's everywhere.
And this kind of thing is marching in at an unprecedented rate.
We'll let it happen.
Our governor.
Yep.
But it doesn't matter. You can blame our governor. Do you know what happened in Iowa? Iowa, one of the first ones. Rural people in Iowa that hate this thing.
Yeah. Came in like a flood.
They came in with it, and the people rose up and said no. And you know what? Wicked judges declared it illegal.
Yeah.
And this is what's happening. The unrighteous, wicked judges of this land are overturning laws. They're overturning laws that were passed by the state.
Right.
They're overturning things that people voted against.
Right.
starts from the top.
And they're saying it's unconstitutional.
Yeah.
It goes to our Supreme Court, and so far our Supreme Court has sided with the wickedness.
Yep. They were put in there.
Because they're corrupt themselves. Reprobate. Somebody used the word reprobate to describe. And you know what? You can't just blame the Democrats. The man that was appointed by a Republican, meant to be the conservative man on the Supreme Court, he turned. He turned. George and I landed in, was it a year ago? We landed in the Philippines. We were going, it must have been a time that Rita didn't go. When was that? Was that last year? It was in July. Was it last year? I think it was. My, how the time flies. And we went into the Delta Lounge in Japan. The plane lands in Japan. We got out, we went into their lounge. We're frequent flyers, so we had a right to go into their fancy lounge, relax for a minute. And somebody, George picked up a paper and he said, have you seen the headlines? And we looked at the headlines, and it was the Supreme Court decision to support the
Obamacare.
No, it wasn't the Obamacare. It was this same-sex business. And I said to George, I was just back in my seat. I was tired, and I said, "Oh, what did Roberts do?" And George said, "He supported it." I said, "Oh my God, this is news I don't need to hear today." And some guy sitting in the lounge rose up and said, "You guys have no right to talk that way.
Oh.
You're in a public place. You have no right to talk that way.
I tell my own business."
I mean, that's all I said. I mean, I didn't, I just said, "Oh God, I don't need to hear that today." And it stirred these people up with such wickedness that they were ready to throw me out of the lounge. Do you see the power of this wickedness?
Yes, I do.
They don't want you to, you have free speech? Except for that.
That's right.
Except for that.
You can't talk about it.
And there is a preacher somewhere in Canada. I don't know what happened to it, but I know he got arrested for speaking out against this kind of thing.
Wow.
I heard about this.
Canada.
Yeah. And you can't do it here, either. You'll be fine.
Well, I'm doing it.
I know.
So do what you got to do.
That's right. There is a preacher who was in jail because he didn't want to do the wedding.
Oh, there's another man somewhere, a baker, a chef.
Yeah.
Was it in Colorado?
Colorado. Yeah.
And he refused to make a cake for a couple of sodomites for their wedding.
Right.
And they're going to arrest him.
Yeah.
Oh, he has to be sent to sensitivity training.
That is horrible. Yeah, it is.
How are we different? How are we different than the communists?
They don't like them.
That's what's starting to happen.
How are we different? Because if you don't think like the political, then they send you to the concentration camp or something to adjust your thinking.
Yeah, they want to change it. They want to take away from the Lord.
In favor of homosexuality.
They think it's a mental illness. KGB.
So. No, the Putin is not in favor of it, but he's not a righteous man either. He has his
right thing. He's given that much credit.
Here's another side. Here's another kingdom.
Islam.
Here's a kingdom that hates this homosexuality, and they stone them.
Yeah.
But do you want this kingdom?
No.
I'm in here too.
No. Here's another kingdom that's going to fail.
Yep.
Let me give you some statistics. Here, this, by the way, I don't go for these televangelists, but I like this guy. He's a European guy. He's an English guy. He seems to have a very humble heart. He was put into a prison. No, it's I don't know the guy's name. It doesn't matter. I got on his mailing list because I ordered one of his DVDs. His DVD is called The Rape of Europe. It's very prophetic. He talks about what's happening against Europe and the European Union. So in this little article, he's got some very interesting statistics. Oh, I listened to a man that has suffered, the man that has been put in prison for the cause of Jesus Christ. He was a Bible smuggler. Okay, he was a pastor, and I guess he heard one of these phones ring, and he answered it, and the Lord said, "What are you doing?" I'm talking about the Spirit. The Lord said, "I want you to get out, and I want you to take my word to the nations, in particular to the communist places where people were locked up." Now, this is during the days of communism.
Right.
So he bought a bus, and he loaded that thing up with 2 tons of Bibles. And he made trip after trip.
Wow.
And the last time he got caught, he got caught in Czechoslovakia, going into there. Now, that's a nice place today.
Yeah.
But at one time, you haul Bibles into there, they threw him into a prison.
Yeah.
And he said it was a terrible place. He described it. I know what he's describing. But here's a man that suffered. Now, I don't know who wrote this article. He didn't write it, but he put it in his magazine. It says here, we're talking about Islam. He says, "Islam is destined to fall spectacularly." Listen to these statistics now. I never knew this. And I'll accept it, unless you can prove it to be wrong. It says here, there's been a continuous outpouring over 2,000 years that has brought millions into the kingdom of God. It speaks about the mighty outpouring in our days, where 2.5 million people are coming to the faith in the Messiah every year. 2.5 million. Compared to 865,000 who convert to Islam.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's greater. God's kingdom is greater. Okay? Now, what else? The London Times, this is the London Times, wrote that 15% of Muslims in Western Europe are leaving Islam.
Western Europe.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Now, you know, they've all invaded Western Europe.
Right.
Western Europe is full of Muslims. Yeah. 200,000 in the UK alone. Some statisticians say that every hour 667 Muslims convert to Christ. That is 16,000 every day, 112,000 every week, 500,000, that's 500,000 every month, 6 million every year. Their kingdom is falling too.
Amen.
Amen.
Here's another one. American communications strategist and author of The Last Jihad, Joel Rosenberg, writes in his article, "The Untold Story, the God of the Bible is moving powerfully in the Middle East to draw men, women, and children to his heart and adopt them into his family in record numbers. More Muslims have come to faith in Jesus Christ over the last 30 years, and specifically over the last 7 to 10 years, than at any other time in human history."
Hallelujah.
They are talking about many Muslims are having visions.
Amen.
Of Jesus Christ. He is breaking through.
Yeah.
Where men are not allowed to go in.
Right. Amen.
And I want to just read his last statement. Islam will not rule the world.
Amen. That's right.
The earth will be filled with the knowledge and the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Let me read some of the passages from the Bible, okay?
Yes.
I want to read a little more in Revelation, okay? Revelation, did I read 17?
Always be here.
For in 1 hour, amen, so riches are come to naught. Every shipmaster and all the company in ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar. Do you realize how much comes by sea?
Oh, yeah, a lot. It's all imported from other countries.
You go down to Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
How much of it comes by the sea?
Everything.
Everything. There's nothing made in America.
No.
And you know these huge ships, huge.
Yeah.
I mean, these ships are so big that even the storms and hurricanes doesn't bother them. They just roll right on through.
The size of Rhode Island.
Yeah, a ship the size of Rhode Island. The merchants.
Yeah.
Okay. They stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, "What city is like unto this great city?" By the way, it isn't just goods that are sold at Walmart. It's oil. Oil going back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Everything going back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
There was a man lost out in the ocean. Big ships going by. They go by, never saw him.
Oh, no.
Never saw him. Men are all locked up in their little cabins, just, you know, ship is all set on automatic pilot. Never saw the man. And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea, by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour is she made desolate." In 1 hour. I might as well read a little more here. It says, "Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her." This is true prophets.
Yes.
This guy is not a prophet.
Right.
He's a rebel. He's a rebel against a Babylonish system.
Yeah.
You know, I believe the founder of this church was a godly man. He was. The founders of some of these movements were godly men.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They'd roll over in their grave if they knew what was happening.
Our great liberal universities were founded as godly universities.
The one right here, down at the end of the street. Was a godly university, Union College. Finney came and preached at Union College. Would Finney be allowed today? Amen. A mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, "Thus with violence." Hello. "Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all." Brethren, I don't think you realize what we're saying here. I don't think we can possibly comprehend how sudden, how violent, what an explosive event this is going to be. If you think it's going down with a whimper, you're wrong. I mean, you see Wall Street going down like a whimper. Oh, I lost a little more today, lost a little more. No, that's not the way it's going to happen. It's going to be a crash, a resounding crash, heard round the world. Amen? "And the voice of harpers and musicians and pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee." By the way, where are harpers and pipers and trumpeters, and where is that heard?
In Hollywood.
Well, yeah, in Hollywood, but you know what? It's heard in churches. That means that even now, there is the sound of praise being heard in some places in Babylon. And God is saying, come out of her. You see, the verse that I didn't read back here in verse 4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. Now, God wouldn't say that if some of his people were not in Babylon. If it was all wicked, unredeemed people, he wouldn't have to say that. He'd just say, let her go. I mean, she can go right now. What he's doing is, why is he delaying? He's delaying because he's asking his people to come out. Come out so I can judge her. What was he saying to Lot? Come out, Lot. Why? Because I want to judge Sodom. I can't judge Sodom with you there because Abraham has pled with me. If I found 10 righteous people, I can't destroy it. Well, I can't find 10, but I found you 4, and I'm still going to get you out. But you have to hear me and get out. And what was the problem with Lot? He loved Sodom. He had a good income. He had a business. He had position. He sat in the gate. He was probably a judge. I don't know what his position. Maybe he was the mayor. I don't know. But Lot did not want to upset his lifestyle. What about his wife? Do you think she liked it there? She must have liked the malls and the shopping and finding things that she liked. Why did she turn back when they were on their way out?
She missed it.
If she hated the place, she would have said, I'm glad to leave. I'm never looking back.
Right.
But she looked back. One last look. Yeah, well, it was the last look. It was the last look she ever looked.
That's where her heart was.
Yeah, come out of her, my people.
Amen.
So with a sound, he says, the voice of harpers, pipers, trumpeters will be heard no more, and no craftsman of whatever craft he be shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. What does the sound of a millstone speak of? But what does it mean? It means industry, business. Things are being produced. Food is being processed. Factories are humming and running and producing widgets and gadgets and gadgets and computers and things like that. It's not going to be happening anymore in Babylon. No more. And the light of the lamp. The light of the lamp will no more shine in her. What does the lamp represent? Come on. The Holy Spirit. Oil flows in the lamp, and oil is the Holy Spirit. Lamp is what? The light and the move of the Holy Spirit, the evidence. What were we partaking of this morning when you felt the presence of the Lord? It was the lamp of God. It was the flow of the oil. Amen. Now that means up to a certain point, there is some kind of an anointing still going on where the Word of God is still being preached, even though it's in Babylon.
Right. The Word is a lie.
Because God will honor His Word. You know, Catholic priests get up and read the Word of God and people could get saved.
Right.
Not because of the righteousness of the priest,
right,
but because of the righteousness of the Word of God.
Amen.
And the Word of God might speak to a sinner, a wicked sinner,
that's right, and bring him in.
Sorry about his sins, sitting in the back row when that priest is up there swinging his little thing back and forth and he reads. But if he reads the Word of God, the Word of God could strike that man in his heart.
Amen.
But God is saying the day is coming when that will not happen anymore.
Yeah, sure.
When Babylon falls, the lamp will no more. God will not, His Spirit will not visit that place anymore, again, ever.
Can I say one thing about the Catholic Church? Because I was a good Catholic boy. The Mass I used to go to Mass every week.
I did too.
The only part of the service that excited me, that I enjoyed, was when they when you opened up the Bible, and for 5 minutes, you read the Bible, and gave a little dissertation. It wasn't much. It wasn't like what you do for 2 hours, but... This was like, you know, 5 minute dissertation. But that was the only part that I received life from.
We're not going to go 2 hours, Brother Larry. You guys were preaching almost an hour here this morning. Amen. Okay, it says in the light of a it says candle in the, but it's lamp. Okay, the lamp shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom. What does this mean?
Jesus.
Who is the bridegroom?
Jesus.
That means his voice will never again be heard in Babylon.
Right. It's be done.
He's going to move out.
Yep.
He's calling you out. He's moving out. And I don't mean you personally. He's calling people out.
Yep.
Come out of her.
Yes,
because I'm coming out.
Yes. Yeah.
So no matter, at this point in time, no matter how bad, maybe even here, maybe even where these people are, maybe the bridegroom is occasionally heard.
They got to hear it through their phone.
Yeah. I'm not recommending you go there to try to find the bridegroom.
No.
He's on his way out, okay? And the bride... shall be heard no more. Bridegroom and bride.
Right.
That means his bride is not going to be there either.
Right.
Okay? For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, and for thy sorceries were all nations deceived, and in her was found the blood of prophets and saints and all that were slain on the earth.
Wow.
Now, oh my, there's so much. Let me take you to 2 Peter, and maybe that's as far as we're going to get. 2 Peter, because I want you to see the end of these systems. 2 Peter chapter 3, and that's the last chapter in all of Peter. And it says here, Peter is talking about the last days. And in verse 3, he says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts. What is this if it's not walking after your own lusts?
Part of it.
Deceived.
Yeah.
Reprobate.
Yeah.
Being turned over to destruction. Yeah, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Well, actually, all things are not continuing as they were. They're getting worse. Worse and worse.
Mm-hmm.
So these people can say, our new age is coming, and you can't stop it. Our age in which... all transgenders and everything else is given their proper recognition. I've yet to figure out what a transgender is. It's apparently people that don't like what they are and decide they want to switch, and then a week later they want to switch back. And well, I don't know what they are.
A man
wants to be a woman. A woman wants to be a man.
Right.
Try that for a few months or whatever. I guess that must be... Anyway, it's scoffers, because they say all things are just, our new age of Aquarius is coming, where all our freedoms are going to be recognized, and you bigots will not be able to overcome us. That's what they call us, bigots. Okay? Bible thumpers. I would probably be a Bible thumper, although I don't thump the Bible, really. For this they are willingly ignorant. It says they are willingly ignorant. Okay?
They want to be.
And what does ignorant mean?
They don't want the truth.
Ignorant means you don't know the truth. They are willingly. In other words, they're not necessarily deceived. You are willingly ignorant. In other words, you've heard the truth. you have made up your mind that you don't want it. Yeah. They willingly forget that by the word of God, the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of water and in the water. That's another whole message right there. The world of old. The God spoke the creative power to the world of old. Amen. By the way, the world was sort of like that during the days of Noah too, wasn't it? And they're willingly forgetting that too, aren't they?
Yep. Sodom and Gomorrah.
Whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. Very interesting. Very interesting. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Now, I don't know what this word fire means. I know what fire is. But there's a fire that I don't understand too. There's a spiritual fire that may be worse than the natural fire.
Elijah.
How many of you believe that there's a real hell?
Oh yeah, there is.
That a hell that involves fire.
Yes, there is. Yep.
But you know, it's a place where spirits.
Yeah.
So what kind of fire burns spirits?
They don't.
They're not consumed. You know that God is the consuming fire. Moses saw the fire of God. He saw the presence of God on a bush, but the bush wasn't consumed.
Praise the Lord.
And he said, "My name is I Am."
Yes, that's right.
Amen. I am real.
Amen.
I am real. Hell is real. Heaven is real. The fire of hell, even though it may not be a natural fire like you can strike with a match, is ever as eternal and ever as painful.
Physical fire can dwindle away, but this continues.
But Jesus said, "It's a place where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." What kind of fire? Well, what kind of fire burns the soul? Let's say you have a problem and you just utterly hate somebody.
Yeah, that can burn.
I mean, I can think of people that I could actually burn with some. I mean, there's just things that I'm tired of hearing about them.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
But you know what? I cannot allow it to burn my soul.
Amen.
I have to tell my soul, this will come to an end.
Yes, amen.
And other than that, you're supposed to pray for them.
Yes, and pray for them. Amen. The things that are happening, I hate it.
The word of the Lord.
But I'm not going to allow it to burn my soul. You see, Jesus said, the fire is not quenched.
Right.
Now, there's other kinds of fire.
Right.
Let's talk about passions.
Yeah.
Let's talk about lust.
Right.
You see, the human souls that are going to be in hell are going to have the same passions, the same lusts, the same hatreds, the same envies, the same, go on with the list.
All the devil's work.
That they had while they were on earth. In fact, there will be, except for the fact that there will be no means of satisfying all those fires. You hate somebody, there'll be no chance of you taking your fist and knocking their block off. You could throw your fist all you want, it won't do anything. The same with lust, passions, sexual lust. You can burn all you want.
And
they will. They will burn eternally with these same lusts and have no satisfaction whatsoever. That's fire. Now, he says here, Peter is saying that this world is going to be destroyed by fire. I'm asking myself, how's that going to work? What kind of fire is going to destroy this earth?
A third.
No, okay, yes, I can understand. We could have nuclear warfare. We could. That would be very destructive, wouldn't it? We could have it. And I very well believe in a strong possibility that that can happen. But you know what? I'm not afraid of that kind of fire.
Amen. That's right.
I'm not afraid of that.
That's right. The Lord will bring it.
It isn't going to stop me.
Right.
Amen. Okay. But the heavens, let's see, reserved for fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, here's the key here. Now quit with this. Be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years. As one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward. Interesting word, usward. Toward us, in other words. Okay? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Why is he delaying?
He wants everybody to repent.
You know, how many of you believe that he's delayed too long? In your natural emotions, I don't mean in your spiritual knowledge, but in your natural emotions, how many of you have said maybe as long as 10 or 20 years ago, well, I think you should come by now.
Come, Lord Jesus, come.
You've never said that?
I have.
Oh, come on, you heard me say that 30 years ago.
Come on, Sierra,
No, right. My desire would be that he will come sooner.
Absolutely.
In my mind, I know.
Family and stuff.
I can't reconcile that with the Word of God, or the nature of
God. Right. We wanted it to happen. Come, Lord Jesus. Haven't you said thy kingdom come?
Yes.
We want the kingdom to come.
Yes.
Right, right.
How many of you are tired of this old world system? Tired of it.
Yes.
Weary of it.
Amen.
And you know, even Lot, it says that he was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked.
Right. Amen.
Then why was he reluctant to leave?
Right.
If he was vexed. And by the way, Lot, I don't see Lot as the pillar of faith like Abraham. And yet God had something for Lot.
Right. Something Lot did.
He was righteous.
Yes, the Lord, yes.
Doesn't call him the faithful one. I mean, the righteous man, the faithful man, had to intercede in his behalf.
He didn't turn on God.
No. So anyway, but the day when the Lord will come as a thief in the night.
Yep.
Does that mean quietly? No, not necessarily. Read the next part of this verse. The thief in the night means unexpected. Okay? This might be a noisy thief, but you weren't expecting him. Amen? A thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise.
Yeah.
I mean, you weren't expecting the thief. He didn't send you a letter saying, I'm coming to your house on the night of June, what was it, 18th? 18th at 9:30 p.m.
That's the beginning.
Yeah. So this thief did not. The coming of the day of the Lord is not going to be with an announcement that you're going to know when it comes.
Right.
In such an hour as ye think not. So therefore, in such an hour, I'm going to think not.
But the Lord says, watch.
Watch. Okay. With a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now, if you're looking for a natural fire, how do you burn works?
Not matches
and gasoline. All right, so we're going to have a bonfire out here in the street tonight. And I want everybody to bring your wicked works and pile them up, and we're going to burn them. Bring your lust, bring your thievery, bring your unrighteousness, bring your cheating, bring your lying, and pile them all up in a bonfire, and they're going to be burned. That is not a natural fire.
No.
that's something that God is going to do.
Right. He's going to deliver
us. He is going to bring a fire that is going to consume it all.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
And there these kind of fires make some kind of smoke too. But not, I mean, the fire department isn't going to come to put it out.
Right.
And tell you you're burning without a permit. No, that isn't the kind of thing that's going to happen. But I'm talking about the kingdoms of this world coming to a resounding crash. Suddenly, the fact that it hasn't happened doesn't mean that God is trying to work up enough power to get it going. All he's got to do is point his finger, and it's all done.
Say the word.
But Peter is saying he's long-suffering. There's something about his delay that we don't understand.
Because he loves us.
Amen.
There's something about his call to come out of her, my people, that he's still waiting for.
Thank you, Jesus.
You know, I had a funny thing happen to me, and I don't think I've ever mentioned it to anybody. When I went up to North Creek in 1978, now I had no reputation of any kind. People did not know me, as far as I knew. I lived down in Glens Falls. I didn't live in North Creek. And somehow they got a word from somewhere that a teacher of the Bible was going to be moving in and being the administrator of the nursing home. I don't know where they got such a message.
Wow.
So people came to me, and there were a lot of Catholic people up there. People came to me and said that they wanted to have a Bible study in my house where I was living. So I said, sure, let's have a Bible study. So Wednesday night, they all came down. And these are the days of the charismatic renewal. You remember the 70s? Some of you guys remember the 70s? And so they came in, and I opened up the Bible, and wouldn't you know, my foot went right in my mouth. And I said something about, come out of Babylon, my people. And all of a sudden, that anointed teacher... I mean, this is before I even started preaching. I wasn't even a preacher in these days. And boy, there was no more... I think I used the word denominational bondage, too.
Oh, they didn't come back.
That was not a good phrase. If you want to keep a crowd. So I have not been good at keeping crowds.
They run. They're scared.
But, you see, people want to be willingly ignorant.
Yeah.
I've got to quit. Amen. Oh, my. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of the Lord, wherein the heavens being on fire. See, the heavens being on fire.
Right.
Now that doesn't mean you're going to see northern lights all over the place. It means the spiritual realm of darkness. God is going to put a fire in that spiritual realm.
Amen.
That is going to annihilate that rank and file hold that they have upon the people of this earth.
Right.
It's going to be dissolved. That's what it means, the elements.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean copper and gold and oxygen. That isn't what the meaning of it is. It means the systems that are holding this earth in bondage. The governors, the senators, the prime ministers, and all their staff, and their people that are all in their support, all under the dominion of the devil.
Right.
That spiritual realm is going to be on fire. By the fire of God is going to be destroying it. Amen. Heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, we according to His promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Amen. Well, I got about halfway through, so I guess we'll have to finish again another time. Hallelujah.